Well, there are, in fact, just 9 hours before the legislation end, the legislative session ends, I should say. So that festival of politics will soon be shifting to focus on the congressional races in Massachusetts, specifically the very heated race for the 4th congressional district. And we're going to talk a little bit about that now with Radio Boston's political team. We're joined by Nancy Dwight. She's a Republican analyst and former executive director of the National Republican Congressional Committee. Nancy, good to see you again.
Good to be here.
Also joined by Susan Tracy. She's our Democratic analyst and former state representative. Susan, great to have you back as well.
Thanks, Megan.
Well,
to be here.
Let's tap your former state representative experience, and let me just ask you, first of all, your thoughts on seemingly the end of the debate between Governor Patrick and the legislature over three strikes.
I'm not surprised by the outcome on that. I think the governor made his point. He sought in an opinion from the Supreme Court. He went back to the legislature with suggested amendments. They overrode the amendments. The clock, as we just heard, is ticking on the session. I think he realizes that he can't throw out all of the good things in that bill in these final hours. And I think that, there's time to try to make changes in the next legislative session. And he would have burned an awful lot of bridges if he tried to veto this in a way that they couldn't override it. They've worked hard on it. It was the right thing to do. He made his point. But sometimes you have to move on and live to fight for the next day.
So, this year, as in years past, there are some very significant bills being debated on Beacon Hill. Why does it always seem to come down to the wire like this? We're literally talking about the last hours of the session.
It's the legislative cliff that we're on here, not the fiscal cliff. It happens every year. Every year that I was there, it's just the nature of the beast. Plus, you have to remember that you have a House and a Senate that are going back and forth on give and take. And part of give and take is, you giving something up, me giving something up. But you also need a clock to help you push the other side into doing something that you don't want them to do. You notice that the bottle bill was added to one bill in the end. They're all negotiating tactics, and the clock is a part of that negotiation.
And Nancy, your thoughts about the legislative session?
Well, I can't help but say that in other legislatures around the country, we have more balance in many places between parties, between Republicans and Democrats. So the legislative cliff that we're approaching, it's not to say we wouldn't be going on this legislative cliff, but a lot more things are worked through committees when you have a more balanced partisanship. We don't have that in Massachusetts. We hope we will someday.
I will say that the health care reform bill that just passed in the Senate passed 38-0. The three strikes bill that we just talked about had great partisan support. So I do think they've done a good job at working together on this.
But Nancy, I do take your point overall in terms of the balance of the body, as it might be.
Well, the body, and also just people in general should be more involved in this legislative process, more than just in this last few days, voters.
Well, let's look at the congressional races, because those absolutely are gearing up rather than down as the legislature is, specifically in the 4th congressional district, where there are, from my last count, six people vying for the seat that's currently held by Congressman Barney Frank. Three Democrats, including Joseph Kennedy III, and three Republicans, including Sean Bilott, who ran against Barney Frank last time around. So, Nancy, let's start with you. What's your impression of this large group of contenders?
Well, it's a lot of contenders. Let's first put it in context. We're 37 days away from the primary election, which will nominate the Republican nominee who will go against, most likely, Joe Kennedy, very young, attractive, this generation of the Kennedy family running. The three candidates, Elizabeth Childs, Sean Bilott, and David Steinhoff from Fall River, all debated last night on NECN, and the after-action on that was not only the debate that was fascinating and a little more vituperative than I think we would have expected, but there was a debate afterwards in the lobby that continued the conversation on. Those three Republicans are hoping, whoever is nominated, are hoping to carry the message that the Republicans are trying to carry this year, but against Joe Kennedy. It'll be an interesting, tough race.
Susan, I'm going to get to you in a second, but we do actually have a little bit of tape of that debate as it continued in the lobby after the official debate ended on NECN. So again, here's an exchange that happened in the lobby between Elizabeth Childs and Sean Bilott.
You took $130,000 over the past 7 months to work on a website. That's $250,000 per year being paid to someone who's running for Congress to do a website that is the most basic thing. That is not being transparent with the voters. You still have not told
alleging?
People.
So you have actually you have, no facts. So what still, are you alleging?
No, who pays someone running for Congress $250,000 a year to consult a website like this?
Because if you are, why don't you just say what the allegation is?
You have not come clean with the voters of this district about who is paying you
what
and
are
why.
You alleging?
Nobody knows who's
You're
paying
not making
you.
Any sense about it.
So, Susan, a battle over transparency there.
Yeah, and a battle over, trying to stake a claim in a race. You know, Bilott presumably has the edge in the race because he's run once before. And if you're Childs and you're trying to find a way in, it's an interesting issue. I felt Bilott is a little almost Romney-esque on this because he's not told people where he was working, and he kept that quiet. I think as long as you don't answer and tell people, it makes people say, well, why are you afraid to tell me? What's wrong? So I think he sort of invited some scrutiny of himself by doing that. I will say the more interesting point from that debate last night, in my opinion, was Steinhoff, who differed from them on taxes. He was the one who took the National Republican line of, cut for millionaires. And I felt like if Steinhoff was smart in a Republican primary with a very low turnout, mm-hmm. with presumably a base of Tea Party voters, if he could get that message out, he could really stand out from the two of them who feel very much the same.
There isn't much daylight between the other two.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Well, and let's remember, all three of them. Childs comes from Brookline, Bilott comes from Norfolk, which is the center part of the district, and Steinhoff comes from Fall River, which is the southern part of the district. This is a new district, newly built because of redistricting. It was supposed to be more friendly to Republicans. Scott Brown won this district in 2010 when he ran against Coakley in the special. So when you look at this from the outside, you have to look at that, but you also have to look at the fact that Steinhoff has raised $18,000 so far in this campaign, and it costs, in 37 days, it takes a lot of resources to organize and get a message mm-hmm. out that
yeah,
can overcome the advantage of somebody who's already run.
Absolutely. I agree that presumably Bilott has the edge, and I think Childs, you saw in there trying to, take on the perceived front runner. However, I do think if Steinhoff had the ability to get some attention and separate himself from the two of them, that turnout's going to be so low, and that there will be a very conservative faction picking the ultimate nominee in that seat, he could get some traction.
Yeah. Mm.
So that's the view on the race for the 4th District congressional seat. Let's move on to the statewide race, the big one, and that is, of course, for the Senate. And let's start with a new ad from Senator Scott Brown that came out on Friday.
Scott Brown is a person that I have a great admiration for. I've found him to be a regular guy, honest, hardworking. He's also an independent voice. I'm a Democrat, but I'm tired of all the polarization, the pettiness, and the bickering. Scott Brown is a person that you can work with.
And that isn't just any Democrat. That's former Boston Mayor Ray Flynn. So that spot came out on Friday, the same day that New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg also announced that he's throwing his support behind Senator Brown. A number of similar endorsements the senators received from outside his own party. So, Nancy, how much do these matter?
I think they do matter a lot. What Scott Brown needs to do to continue his work in the Senate is prove that he is a coalition builder. He's somebody who can work with the other side, that he can appeal to independents in order to get there. I thought when he made his statement of endorsement, he called Scott Brown a true independent who always puts progress over politics. I mean, that is the theme of the Scott Brown reelection campaign, in my view. And so the Bloomberg endorsement, the Ray Flynn endorsement, to me, it was a superlative campaign ad. Tactics, just the best campaign tactics one could imagine.
Susan?
Bloomberg, a former Massachusetts resident, now a Yankees fan. I think it hurts him. No, but seriously, not surprising. You can't win as a Republican in Massachusetts without Democratic support. However, I would say I think this is not a year when I would be rolling out a lot of insider endorsements. I think that just makes you part of the club. I think Scott Brown is in that difficult spot of running as an outsider, now being in. And I think if you roll out too many of these things, I think people get turned off.
Okay. Well, on the other hand, though, I do want to say ask you both about basically what could amount to a huge endorsement for Democratic challenger Elizabeth Warren, and that is the fact that she's going to be making a major speech at the Democratic National Convention in September, not the keynote speech, but, you know, she'll be in front of a national audience there. So let's start with you, Susan. Your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, we think we all remember that Barack Obama was really put on the national stage by speaking at the convention in Massachusetts in 2004. So it's a great platform. It's a great opportunity. But it's also a statement about what the party and what the national leaders think of her. And they think of her as really national timber. And I think that's a great statement for her.
Nancy?
I think politicians have to be very careful about leaving their own states, even during convention time, in their elections. And I think it's risky for her to only support the feeling that she's more a national candidate than she is a Massachusetts candidate. I certainly would not have sent her to Charlotte, North Carolina, for the convention.
Well, that's Nancy Dwight. She's a Republican analyst and former executive director of the National Republican Congressional Committee. Always great to have you, Nancy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Susan Tracy, our Democratic analyst and former state representative. Thank you so much, as always, Susan.
Thanks, Magna.
Coming up, the story about Boston's lost floating neighborhood and a conversation about whether the city needs to re-embrace a big vision for its future. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.